Forrest said, I'm not on. I'm like, I haven't even started preaching yet, man. How could... But happy Father's Day. Yeah? Yeah, thank you. Praise God for dads, for fathers. And anytime Mother's Day and Father's Day roll around, we want to do that balance of honoring those men that have been fathers to their children and are still being fathers today, even to grown children. What would we do without them? We at the same time go, we live in a fallen world, and sometimes Father's Days bring all different kinds of unique feelings. And sometimes dad and thoughts of dad are filled with loving, wonderful memories. Sometimes they're filled with a lot of pain. It could be filled with loss today in the absence of your father, or a father who wasn't available and present earlier on in life. So many different things. We're grateful for dads, and I want to encourage your hearts today just by saying whatever your experience has been, we have a heavenly Father who is everything that we could ever ask for and more. And lean heavily on him. And if you're blessed to still have your dad around, reach out and express your love and thankfulness for dad. I don't know if you guys saw today or if you came up front. This isn't a new type of communion we're experiencing or experimenting with at the church, but these are some cookies that are for fathers out there today. And so after the service, if you would come and like to grab one. Also really cool to see something that I mentioned in a staff meeting come to fruition this morning without me even knowing that. And that is that if you are blessed to be here with any of your kids today or with a father, go over to the Children's Ministry building. And right when you go in the main doors, there is a really neat photo opportunity with something that Leslie put together for us. If I understand right, I literally just got a text this morning, and it's exactly the type of thing we're talking about, where you can take a really nice picture with a nice background. I think it looks like a cool looking fence and has We Love Dad hanging above it. And so go over there and check it out. I've already seen pictures that the Cabreras took and the Smiths took. Fantastic with the kids. Really, really cool and thankful. So don't forget your cookie. Don't forget a picture. Also wanted to share that if you see my tallest daughter running around today, it's her birthday on Father's Day. So Madeline Rose turns 9 today. And so if you see her, say happy birthday to her. She's my sweetheart. And then also wanted to just read to you a message here. Your pastor's not checking his text during church. I actually have a reason I'm doing this. Got a message from Carol, Pat Ector's sister, both yesterday and again this morning. And this morning's message said, Pastor Ron, please let the church know that we are thinking of you all with much love this morning. Pat would not have survived the loss of her husband and son to become the Austin woman she was without the love and support of the members of East Valley Church. Their family was really moved and touched by how you all ministered to them, and our church reached out to them this past week. Thank you for everybody who played a part in that. Well, over the past month, we've been exploring the topic of spiritual gifts, right, and service within the church, talking about spiritual gifts so that we can move towards how we are using them to serve God within the church. We've all been given, we've seen at least one gift. Sometimes God has given more than one gift to people within the church, and he intends for us to be engaged in using it for him, to benefit the body of Christ. And we said, yes, that we use our gifts outside of the church in a very special way. They were given to you to minister to one another within the body. We've acknowledged that some of the gifts that are given are more visible, perhaps, and even more upfront than others are within the church. And because they are, sometimes we might think that somehow they're more important or they're more prominent in some way, but the fact of the matter is that none of the gifts that God gives is more important necessarily than the others. Every one of us has been given a gift to serve him, and we've said in weeks past, every one of us is needed. We're indispensable to seeing the mission of God accomplished here in this church, and he has unique ways that he wants to see us reach this community and world that he's placed us in. I've said each week that I've been up here for the past month, we need you. I'm thankful for the many, 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 many people who serve here so faithfully at this church week in and week out. Even after I just alluded to Pat Ector's service on Friday evening as we did a memorial service here at the church, I got out of the church a little after 11 that night, and Gemma, Beth, Terry, and Lauren were all still serving in the church, taking things down, putting things away, cleaning up, doing all kinds of things after 11 o'clock at night. And I just thought, what a blessing for them to be engaged in doing that. It's been fun to see recently a need that we know is coming up at the church be met by someone who's newer to the church. And many of you may not know. In fact, I mentioned this recently and someone said, I didn't even know that they did this. For years that Dick and Janet have taken care of the communion elements for the church that are all served on Sunday mornings, and somehow those little cups magically disappear after the service and they're gone. They've done that for years for the church, and in the next month or so are beginning to work with Michael and Virginia Kicho, who are going to be taking on and doing that ministry for the church. And I was encouraged to see that happening, and so I'm thankful for both of them for serving the church in those ways. There are so many things that happen that you don't see. If you're not here at 11 o'clock, you don't see that. If you're not here on Sunday mornings before the service or paying attention after, you don't see those things. As I continue to just try to say thank you to the church for all who were engaged in serving, I know that recently in spending time talking with Leslie, she mentioned how at our Easter Jamboree, we had people really respond to us saying, we need you, and there are opportunities to serve, and we had a wonderfully staffed event with people serving in so many different capacities. And then this past week at our staff meeting, she was able to say, man, and give it as a praise report, participation in VBS this year from people serving is just way up and happening really well, and she was really encouraged by it. And I just thought, you guys need to hear that as some of those opportunities are arising to serve, and we're saying, we need you. You are answering the call and stepping up to serve in those capacities. And so I just want to say thank you from me, from Leslie, from Pastor Pat, from our church. God's called every one of us to serve in a way that's in keeping with how he's gifted us here at this church, and every one of us is needed. Really, the question becomes more of this: are you available and willing to use your gifts? Are you available and willing to use your gifts in a way that'll bless this church, a way that'll bless this community and this world to the glory of God? And if you are, we have people, we have a leadership team that would love to talk to you about how you can get plugged in some way, and with God's help, be a part of helping us accomplish our mission and our vision here at this church. We know ultimately to glorify God by making disciples will impact every area of the world for Jesus Christ. What are we seeking to do? To make disciples who make disciples. We can use you, and we have people waiting to hear you say, how can I get plugged in? How can what God's gifted me to do help serve and further the mission of this church and the direction that we're headed? Last week, I asked you to take a little bit of time to think and to pray after the message. And I asked you to consider where you saw needs being at East Valley Church, where you saw needs being. We emphasized how this wasn't about being critical. We said that every church has strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes we got to be careful about how we do all that. But if we were to ask, where do we see needs? The reason we're asking that question is because sometimes God works in us in ways that are close to our heart, that are in keeping with how he's gifted and equipped us to be able to say, I see a need here, and it stands out to you, because very often that's something that he is gifted and equipped you to be engaged in helping with, or to be serving in that way. So step one, and what we've been talking about last week, and what I've asked you to do, was to prayerfully seek to identify needs like that. And then second, I said this week that I'd provide you with some opportunities to serve that our staff and our leadership team have identified as opportunities within the church to serve. And I didn't lie, I've got all those for you today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass them out at the end of this message, because if I pass them out right now, I'll just see the tops of a lot of your heads while I'm preaching, because you'll be reading. I know how this works. And so right here on the at the podium with me, I have those, and maybe I'll ask a couple people at the end of the message to pass them out. I want you to keep this in mind as you read through this list. I said this last week, it is not an exhaustive list of every opportunity that there is to serve in the church. There may be things on there we could use help with, use your help with, that are not on this list. They are things that came to mind to our staff, to our leadership team, as we tried to identify opportunities for service within the church. And so we will share those with you. But I just want to say this. You're never too young or too old to be engaged in serving somewhere. To be engaged in serving somewhere. There is something you can be doing, no matter how physically able you are, no matter how young you are, how old you are. We can use you. We need you. God's glorified when you say, I'm available and I'm willing. And in the remainder of our time that we're going to spend together this morning, I want to just look at a chapter of the Bible that I love, and we're just going to almost bullet point, kind of pull some things out of it that relate to service and this mindset that's connected with having a servant's heart. And it's Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you've got your Bible. Philippians chapter 2 reminds us that God's called us as his followers to be engaged in selfless service. One of our core values that you'll hear about at the church, one of the things you'll see on the wall as you walk in here, that we are engaged in, or to be engaged in, selflessly serving one another. And I see that in so many different ways at the church, that I believe it characterizes our church and what we're about. And this is an area that we continue to grow in and want to see us grow in. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to begin with verse 3. We're not even going to get so much to pulling out some of the theological, Christological, profound, beautiful implications of this passage as much as some very practical observations. In verse 3, Paul says this, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." I want to say this, he's about to give some amazing examples of people with servants' hearts and self-sacrifice, beginning with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. And he begins to talk about the mindset that was in Jesus. And if we're going to be people characterized by this ourselves, which God has called us to be, it begins with a mindset. We serve and we use our bodies and our gifts because of understanding what Christ has done for us and what Christ has called us to do and what Christ has called us to prioritize. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That reads really easy, but man, is that hard, is it not? Consider others more significant than yourselves. Does that happen easily? Come on now, it's okay to answer. Sometimes more than others, but yeah, it's easy for that not to take place. Look at what he says next in verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, and I think that's what we tend to do naturally or inclined to do, but also to the interests of others. And here we go as we talk about this mindset. Have this mind among yourselves. What mind? This mind that is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because he's done those things, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And it's an interesting, repeatable pattern we see in Scripture. If we will humble ourselves, God will lift us up ultimately. And that's what we saw with Jesus. He humbled himself, and so God's response gave him the name that is above every other name, according to this passage. Therefore, God is highly exalted in verse 9 and has bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. And if you remember when we went through the book of Philippians, I suggested to you that I believe that the name that he's referring to, when it says he's given him the name that's above every other name, what's he talking about? I believe it's right here in the text. I don't believe it's rocket science. And I believe in the original language, you see it even more clearly, where you would see, and every tongue confess, Lord Jesus Christ, is what you would see. In the English text, we see every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's some beautiful insights in this passage that relate to the type of mindset that God's called me to have, that God's called you to have, if we're to selflessly serve others, if we're to humble ourselves and to have a mindset that's a servant's mindset that is God and others oriented. This mindset that we saw in Jesus Christ himself as our ultimate role model. And let's just pick a few of them out. We've seen them do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Nothing motivated by me, it being about me. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Not to be primarily engaged in something because it's going to benefit me, make me look good, make my name great, any of those things, but to be looking toward how it would benefit others. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. And then he says this, count others more significant than yourselves. You want to know how well you do that? Just stop and think about your prayer life for a minute. See, how much of my prayer life is focused toward praying for me as opposed to praying for other people? And you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Ron, doesn't God want us to pray for us? You bet he does. He absolutely does. What I'm saying is we can be inclined to, the only time or often when we go to God, it's really all about who? It can be all about us at times, right? Yet Paul says, count others more significant than yourselves. And we were talking about in our new members class this morning the importance of praying for others and praying for leaders and people engaged in ministry. Paul went on to say, look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Chapter then goes on to give us a peek at the heart of the Apostle Paul. And we see in verses 14 through 18, if I could just kind of give it to you in a nutshell, he says that he poured out his very life in ministry. He poured out his very life in ministry as he was humbly engaged in serving others. The Word of God says this in verse 14, Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And we often hear there complaining, right? It's often rendered in other translations. Not easy to do again. Easy to complain, easy to grumble, easy to dispute. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, we should stand out in the midst of a world that exists for different reasons. It has a different mindset. He says in verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, he says this, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. He even refers to it as labor, right? Even if I am to be, and he says, poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I really appreciate and I benefit from his words here, because it's clear that he didn't even hesitate to call his service, this is the Apostle Paul, to the Philippians labor. There was work involved, right? And yes, it was service, but it was labor. It was strenuous, and it communicated that he strenuously exerted himself for their benefit, not for his benefit or some sort of selfish ambition, but for the benefit of the people that he was serving. He was even willing for his life to be poured out as a drink offering upon their faith, in order that their act of worship might be acceptable and pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul had this mindset that was very God and others oriented, and his life was devoted to and engaged in laboring in the strength God provides, with the gifts that God had given him to benefit others, even if it meant being poured out. He uses this very strong language, as a drink offering. I believe one of the challenges here for us is to actually view how we serve within the church, and I'm assuming that you're serving somewhere, as being more than just offering a little bit of your spare time to others. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can think of how we serve God or how we give to God is like giving him a little bit of a tip or something, right? Hey, if we got something honest, yeah, oh, drop it in the plate. Hey, if we got a little bit of time here and there, maybe I can show up and do this or do that. But instead, to be able to make it a priority, so that how we serve, how we give, is our act of worship to God. It's not just giving from whatever we have left, right? We're making him a priority. Understanding that our service to him is our spiritual act of worship. So the book of Philippians puts forth in chapter 2 both Jesus and Paul as amazing examples of selfless service, but it also goes on to provide us with a little snapshot of the lives of two other people we don't quite hear as much about, two followers of Christ, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy and Epaphroditus, if you look in verses 19 through 30, Paul says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him. Listen to this beautiful description of Timothy. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. There was sincerity in how he cared for and how he loved the church. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And of course, there are people engaged in doing that, but he's saying that's not how Timothy was. You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. We just looked in our new members class about how Paul referred to himself as a servant of the gospel, a servant of the gospel. And here he says that Timothy served with him in the gospel. He says, I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also, as he anticipated being able to go and spend time with him. And then he says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And listen to how he describes Epaphroditus. My brother and fellow worker. He's his fellow worker, fellow soldier. He's engaged in the battle and in the labor with Paul. And your messenger and minister to my need. He says, for he has been longing for you all. Longing for them, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So he was concerned about them because they heard that he was ill. So he wasn't so self-focused. It was all about him. Even when he was ill, he was concerned that they were distressed and thinking about how they would respond. Indeed, he was ill. How sick was he? Near to death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He says, I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anguish. And he says this to them, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, not just men, but honor men and women in Christ who are like him. People who are engaged in being workers, soldiers in the gospel, caring for and longing for the people that they were ministering to, even being concerned about them. Honor them. How much was he engaged in the battle and for the gospel? Verse 30, he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. I don't remember the last time I've had to risk my life for the gospel necessarily. And yet Epaphroditus gets this little tiny snapshot in Scripture, and he's set up as an example of a man who had a beautiful mindset that was God and others oriented, God and others driven. I know we went through that really quickly, but in these verses, not only is Jesus and then the Apostle Paul, but also Timothy and Epaphroditus are spoken about or described in a combined sense, if we were to take what was said about all of them, as believers who were genuinely concerned for the welfare of others, seeking the interest of Jesus Christ, serving with, alongside, hand in hand, in conjunction with their brothers and sisters. They were co-workers and spiritual leaders in the gospel. Workers, soldiers, messengers. To what extent? Nearly died for the work of Christ while serving others. They were committed. This is beautiful stuff. This testimony about their lives and their selfless service is intentionally given to you and I by God so that we might see them as examples to follow as we worship God by serving others. And we say this, that yes, Jesus and God are our ultimate example, but we also learn as we watch and see God at work in other people, do we not? Yeah. Think of Paul, right, in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, he says. We look ultimately to God and to the model of Jesus Christ, and we also want to look to other people around us who we see living this way for Jesus, who we see being soldiers, being engaged in gospel work and caring about others. We even took some time this morning before I got here, and we talked about and we one of the assignments or one of the questions that was asked in some of the reading we're doing, who are some people that stand out to you as people who are living this way, people who are serving others? And folks shared some different names, even of people within this church, and I'd probably embarrass some of them right now if I said their names. But they're models, they're examples to us to follow. Service within God's church, if you're part of his family, is inescapable in a biblical sense. You've been called to be engaged in serving. To us as believers, service should be like breathing. Should be like breathing. And from birth, every one of us is actively, this is an interesting thought, from the time we were born, we've been serving someone. We've been serving someone or serving something. And the question is not who, it's not simply who or what, or the question is, excuse me, who or what are we serving? We're all servants. We're all worshipers. Who or what are you serving? Who or what are you worshiping is what I want to ask you to think about today. Paul Tripp, in one of his resources, and I enjoy him as an author and a pastor, said, each of our lives is shaped by the war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self. Who am I going to live for? Am I going to live for me? Am I going to live for God and for others? And at the heart of living for God and others is a mindset that we saw described in Jesus. We saw it in the Apostle Paul. We saw it in Timothy. We saw it in Epaphroditus. Not me first, but God and others first. This is not easy for us. It doesn't come natural, because the truth is we don't want to be subservient to anyone else's wants and needs. Not even God's at times, and that can create a problem for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Word of God says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the others. It's an incredible passage, and within the context of what we're talking about this morning, the Bible is teaching that we are either laboring for God or for an entirely different master altogether. Who are you laboring for? Who are you being poured out for? It could be your workplace. It could be a hobby. It could be any variety of things. Sometimes it's good things. Sometimes even good things can become the main thing in our life, and then they become idolatrous, right? So that all of our time, all of our energy, all of our resources are going towards whatever things those are. And I just want to challenge you to think about this morning. Are you laboring for God? Are you laboring to serve an entirely different master? It's not a matter of whether or not you're serving someone. You might be here today and think, I don't worship anybody. And I'm telling you, you do. It's a matter of who or what you worship. If you're not sure who that is, you can check, where does your time go? Where does your money, your resources go? Those are sometimes indicators, and believe me, I know we've got to work hard and all those things that are important. We've got to be sure that even those good things don't become an idol to us, and that we truly are engaged in laboring for God. As he's gifted, as he enables us to serve him. This is really important. As people, we'll always serve the one. Listen to this. As people, we will always serve the one who we see as the king of our kingdom. We'll always serve the one who we see as the king of our kingdom. That's why servanthood and worship are essentially the same thing. I'm talking to you today about service being your act of worship. It's an act of worship. And we're always going to be engaged in serving whoever or whatever we see as being the king of our kingdom, whatever is most important in our life. Biblical service calls us to direct our attention and our minds outward, our focus outward, away from ourselves, in reaching others. When we do this, we imitate our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who served others even to the point of death, to the ultimate extent, and we follow in the footsteps of the selfless servants after him, like Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, who all possessed God and others-oriented mindsets. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, and you hear me repeat it from time to time, Mark 10:45, which says, speaking of Jesus, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, serving God as a grateful response to the gospel is the calling of every Christian and every person in this room. Why do we do it? Because we're acquainted with and grateful for how he was willing to give to the ultimate extent for us. How could we not want to give back for him? Regardless of a church's age, regardless of its size, a biblical vision for serving is vital to building a healthy church. In fact, many churches succeed or fail on the answer to a couple of questions. One, are the people in the church as a whole committed to serving? Are they committed to serving? If so, who are the servants in a particular church actually serving, right? We talked about this. What are their motivations? Are they more interested in serving God's purposes or their own purposes? And I've mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago, and I just want to say it again. I'm going to give you a question every pastor, ministry leader loves to hear, but rarely gets asked. Pastor, ministry leader, whoever it is, person's name, fill in the blank, where could this church best benefit from my service, from me getting involved, me getting plugged in? Where could you see what God's gifted me to do best benefiting this body? That type of statement is like music to our ears. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I began by, and I want to just say this again, thank you so much to everybody here who's engaged in serving in so many ways already. We're all servants. We're all worshipers. Who or what are you serving? Who or what are you laboring for? My hope is, as we've talked about serving and using our spiritual gifts, that you see yourself as being designed by God to be an active participant in this body, that you are needed and that you have something valuable to offer. I shared with you, and I'll give it to you in the moments to come, or right at the end of the service perhaps. We've got a number of opportunities to serve that we know are available. And I would just say this, if you look at it and you see that's something related to youth ministry, well, reach out to Pastor Pat. If you look at it and you see, wow, that's an opportunity in children's ministry, reach out to Leslie. For the most part, unless there's a direct ministry leader over some of the other things, if it's related to anything in adult ministry and that sort of thing, reach out to me or our elders, and we would love to hear from you and consider how we can best get you plugged into what's happening here at East Valley. Serving in the church isn't just the privilege of the few. It's the call of every one of us. And when biblical, gospel-centered service in Jesus' name is present at the center of a local church, it forms a brilliant nucleus radiating out into a dark world that's in need of Christ. And that's something that we are desiring to and in need of recovering and growing in as a church, as it begins within us. Do you want to be a part of that? Don't settle for watching from the sidelines. If you're tired, and that may be the case, you may be tired, perhaps even feeling like you've been sacrificing long enough for others, I want to challenge you to do this. Remember the cross. Remember Jesus and go into the cross and draw encouragement from knowing that your Lord and Savior himself was willing to lay down his life for others. God's called us to be engaged in having the same sort of mindset that was in Christ. And with his help, we can be characterized by that. We're not going to look exactly like Jesus, but God's doing a work in us to make us more like Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, well, I will hand out the handouts at the end of the service, and at this time I want to invite Pastor Pat. Are you going to be sharing announcements for us, brother? Welcome back, by the way. We prayed for you while you were away.
Well, I did not have to do a sad sentence. I got a sad sentence.